This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Craig Hoffman.
I feel pretty good, actually, right now. I think I had like a little like gummy bear thing before the... Not again.
Not the gummies.
There you go again. Making faces.
The Hoffman Show.
That's why I was like trying to describe it in a way. No, like a piece of candy. So I think I'm on a sugar high right now.
On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Watermelon sugar high. Watermelon sugar high. Watermelon sugar high.
It's the Hoffman Show. Watermelon on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980 as well. Coming up at 6:30, we take our one departure from the Commanders game and the NFL to the NBA, where we will talk to Dave Johnson ahead of Hawks and Wizards tonight. Although I do believe tonight, Anthony, that game's over on 99.1 as we have some Terps here on the Team 980 starting at 8.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Yeah, BetMGM tonight to fill in between until 7:30 when the pregame for Maryland begins. So a busy night of action across the DMV, although the Hawks are actually hosting the Wiz in Atlanta, but we'll catch up with Dave in just a little bit. Right now, though, it is time for our pick six at six.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick Six at Six.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, so the day before games, typically we do it right now on a Friday, we pick six players who we think will have the biggest impact in the game, help shape the outcome. We revisit them on Monday. Well, the day after the game, I should say. Well, today's the day after the game, and thus we revisit our six from yesterday, starting with...
Number one.
And that would be Deron Payne. Anthony, you chose Deron Payne, who... I thought watching the game live had a pretty good day. It felt like he was in the backfield plenty. He, you know, made some splash plays, got some pressures. I'm very curious to see how I feel about that after I watch the tape, because he has one of the worst PFF grades I've ever seen.
Oh, man. What is
he's got a 39. He was also their best starting lineman. They graded out that defensive line so poorly in this game. Payne had a 39, Armstrong a 37, Fowler a 33, Mathis 30, Newton 28.
Wow.
By the way, Percy Butler had a 27.
Oh my gosh.
So not ideal. For Payne, I mean, they credit him with two pressures. It felt like he had more than that. Guess not.
I know
he had some TFLs or plays at the line of scrimmage. But here's the thing, you know, I feel like some of those felt like he was pretty quick, but also then you look up and it was second and six. And so I think part of it is like that offensive line for Philadelphia is so good. They just move people at such an outrageous rate that's part of kind of what happened is that they just would get moved and moved and moved. And although they got some pressure, some stuffs, I don't know. I got to go back. I feel like I got to go back and watch the tape because it felt like he had a better game than a 39 PFF grade.
Yeah, I think – I don't know, man. I think going back to the beginning of this year in terms of, like, everybody's wanting this guy to be consistent, we just haven't seen it. I do remember him getting a TFL on Saquon yesterday at the end of the third. But outside of that, like, it was – more so like gang tack. The other two tackles he had were gang tackles. But in the passing, I didn't see him, man. I didn't notice him at all. And I think a guy that we're paying, you know, all this money for is...
He's definitely not playing up to his salary this season.
It's
like,
sad,
I hate to do that to Deron because it's not... like when we talk about this, and luckily we haven't had to have this conversation in a while, but it's not about the dollars. I don't begrudge people their money. It's just like when you pay a guy a lot of money, you're counting on a certain level of production because he's taking up a certain percent of your salary cap. Like his production should be the percent essentially of what he is of the salary cap, and you are not getting that out of Daron Payne this year by any stretch of the imagination. That's not to say he's playing bad football necessarily, but and this one clearly he was even worse than I remember, which is something that'll bear out on the tape. He also missed a couple tackles, and I also wonder like what these grades look like through 3.5 quarters, right? Like, it is important to remember this team carried a lead into the fourth quarter, and then they gave up 20 in the fourth quarter. And some of those were on cutbacks and stuff from Saquon right up the gut. How much of the grade gets dragged down by big explosive plays late? What would this have looked like earlier? Either way, they didn't get the job done. Like, this has been a thing consistently with this defense. Like, they've gotten tired at the end of games. And being good for, you know, 50 minutes isn't enough. You need to be good for 60. It's a 60-minute game. And I think Philly kind of counts on that, the way they lean on you. And Washington just wasn't up to the task on the short week, and they've been playing a ton of games. They haven't had their bye, and they were tired by the end, and it showed. It's not because they're not conditioned. It's because they had a really tough task, and the schedule is not kind. I'll put it that way.
Number two
was Brian Robinson. I thought B-Rob had a very nice day coming back, and he was a big part of the limited amounts of success that this offense had. He grades out PFF style at a 65. I would like to see him get a little bit more involved in the pass game at some point, but obviously that's kind of Eckler's jam, is what it is. But that pony package, the two back package that they're using, it felt like they should have just done that the whole day. Like, that felt like the only success they had offensively was when those two guys were on the field, which is interesting because going into that game, I would have thought getting Jordan Davis off the field and playing in more 11 personnel and some lighter boxes would have been the better play. It wasn't. It didn't play out that way, and it felt like the Commanders' offense was fairly inept when it was only one back on the field. So that is something during this mini bye to get a self-scout and figure out where all the easy looks went has to go, but you could definitely see the difference in the run game. And I think the other big thing for me with B-Rob is some of the hidden yardage. How often does that dude fall forward and just get you an extra 1-2 yards? And you go from, instead of 2nd and 8, to 2nd and 6. And you saw that last night from Robinson, and that is something that can help this offense in a major way moving forward.
Yeah, I think after our scoring drive where he, you know, had the 1 yard rush, I think Philly also just did a good job of keying in on Robinson and not letting him get off. I think he had 14 carries for 44 yards after that. So, I don't know. I think our offensive line got pushed around a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, they 100% got pushed around yesterday. And, you know, if they could get some better looks for B-Rob to run into, he'd probably be more effective. That is the nature of things. All right, number three in our pick six.
Number three.
Benjamin St. Juice, who had a very interesting night, not for the reasons that we necessarily thought. He was apparently battling some cramping issues throughout the night. And Michael Davis all of a sudden was playing, which is probably something that we should click on next week. And I'm sure something that will be clicked on by the beat is, hey, so Michael Davis over Emmanuel Forbes, huh? We know it went really bad for Forbes last year in this matchup. Dude wasn't on the field. He was active, wasn't on the field. Davis has been playing special teams since he had the bomb scare week one playing corner. And he was back out there and he did a good enough job. But Juice was also good last night. PFF's got him credited as giving up one 10-yard catch. Overall good, physical in the run game. Makes 5 tackles. Like, I trust him on the edge as much as I do any of the other corners. Like, Sanders still is really good out there as well, obviously. But Juice played the kind of game last night that's like, man, if you can put Marshawn Lattimore opposite him and get Sanders still back inside and Noah Igbinoghene off the field, like, that to me is the thing that I would want moving forward. Maybe if Davis, you figured something out with him, if you want to rotate him and Juice, that's fine. I think Sanders still is probably earning his way onto the field. He made some great plays on the ball last night, but Juice had one of those nights where he wasn't targeted, which is the best thing for him. I realize it's not exactly a compliment for a corner, but like, he can shut a lot of stuff down. I'm surprised they didn't challenge him more. And with that, we'll see what happens, because hopefully in 10 days, Marshawn Lattimore's out there and we'll have the answers to all these corner questions.
Yeah, I think St. Juice had a good game. I think also to like the point you were making yesterday about where St. Jude's best is aligned on the field when they're in a cover two. They play a decent amount of cover two in that first half, and I think it gave Hurts some problems. But outside of that, yeah, he did a good job tackling.
I mean, the passing game never really got going for Philly. That's the thing. It's like they then scored on the ground. Like Jalen Hurts in this game grades out 74, but that's because he had a 78.9 like run game, or run grade. From a passing standpoint, like 18 for 28, 221, and like
and 43 came from the Saquon like drop
right.
off.
Like, most of that was yards after catch, and then the one big play to and
AJ?
Like yards after catch because the Commanders goofed stuff up.
Yeah.
Not necessarily like, oh, he hit a dude in stride. And then the one big play to Goddard where he fumbled and Calcaterra picked it up. So you got one like big second
big
reaction
plays.
Play. But like the pass game never really got going last night for Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
So all the corners actually graded out really well. And I assume that will show on tape is that that's a group that can be proud of their performance. Unfortunately, they didn't get a lot of support in the run game and obviously the offense as we've talked about. We'll continue to talk more about the players that we identified. Andrew Wiley. Ooh, yucks. Saquon Barkley, good pick. Cooper DeJean, interesting discussion that we should have about the Eagles secondary. So we'll get to all those three next. But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And in 10 minutes, we will talk with Dave Johnson live from Atlanta, where the Wizards will take on the Hawks tonight. We continue now with our pick six at six, taking a look at some of the players that we thought would help shape the Commanders' performance against the Eagles, either whether they were Commanders or whether they were Eagles. And number four on our list.
Number four.
Is Andrew Wiley. Wiley had an interesting game, I guess. Like, definitely better that he was back, but definitely was not some kind of masterclass. And that's, I think, to be expected in the, Andrew Wiley, one, as a player and what you expect from him, and two, I think against this Eagles defensive line, that's really, really, really good. And I think the other part that's really hard is the variety of rushes and rushers and types of rushers that the Eagles throw at you. I mean, you could be stuck on Brandon Graham one snap, one of the great power rushers who's twitched up and everything, but like at this stage is just a bull. And then Nolan Smith next time, who's super lanky and runs a 4-3. Like, that's not very fun to have to balance those two different types of rushers. And I think overall, like, Wiley did a good enough job that I don't think he was the main culprit of their issues. He graded out at a 55. His pass block grade was a 59. But the thing is, like, his run grade was a 48, and they just could not get that run game going. And I definitely think he was a part of that. You know, again, I give more credit to the Eagles on that than I do anything adjacent to the Commanders. But if we're evaluating the Commanders, like, clearly they needed to do a better job.
Yeah, definitely in the run game, there were a lot of fits. And I credit Jalen Carter. He was just quicker than everybody, stronger than everybody. You mentioned that we had three cracks at converting, you know, a second and one. And Jalen Carter, every time, blew it up because either Wiley was too slow as Cosme was pulling, or, you know, he didn't want to necessarily get a holding penalty. It was just, we got to be quicker. And, you know, they just beat us to the punch every single time.
They sure did. Wiley, definitely a part of that. Again, I think Coleman probably has a worse day. Allegretti did not have a good day. That left side was a mess last night, and we'll talk about that more next week when we get a chance to look at the All-22 and study it a lot more.
Number five.
Number five. It's Saquon Barkley. I mean, what are we going to say?
I mean, to be honest, we did a solid job on Saquon
right up
rushing
until the moment
wise.
That they didn't?
Yeah. I mean, the fourth quarter, once the fourth quarter hit, it was Kurtz. Because up until the third quarter, he had 20 rushes, 69 yards. He had a couple of catches where he was actually killing us in the ground. I mean, he had the one big catch. That's what I'll say. He had
well,
the one
big
catch.
That's the thing, is right. They did a pretty good job of containing him, keeping eyes on him.
Yeah.
And even on that play, like, that's the play where the game completely shifted. And this Eagles offense has kind of been like that this year, is they wait for Saquon to make a play. And it's why I think Saquon should legitimately be in the MVP conversation. Because without him, without his ability to break the big one, they're screwed.
Yep.
Maybe not screwed. Maybe that's a little strong because they still have AJ and Devontae. And, you know, Jalen does some stuff every once in a while. But, like, they rely on him to bust things open. And often that is just individual brilliance. And on that play, like, Percy Butler comes down, misses the tackle because Saquon's slippery. And voila, off he goes. Sayonara. And then from there, like, it just felt like chunk after chunk. And that was, I believe, a third down. And I believe the contact happened. I think it was a third and eight. And the contact happened at 6.5 yards. If Percy sticks him, or it's another back, and Percy sticks him, and is dead DOA, like, they might tush push and still get it, but it's not, oh my God, they're in the red zone and it feels like we just let go of the rope. So I think Saquon's brilliance was quite on display. There's a reason they just keep giving it to him, because eventually that's the right call, and his inevitableness is it's quite annoying to play, Anthony, is what it is.
Very annoying. Finished the day, what was it, 198 scrimmage yards on the ground? That, I mean, not on the ground, just scrimmage yards in general. That is insane. Almost 200.
It's a lot of yards.
Almost half their yards.
Rushing leader, although that will change when Derrick Henry.
It might not. The Steelers might have something to say, Craig.
He has got eight. He's 17 yards short.
Oh, never mind. All right.
Yeah, I was like, when let me finish the sentence. It would have been when Derrick Henry gets his 18th yard on Sunday. Yeah, yeah, maybe he gets 50, but you know, he also might get 150 because he's Derrick freaking Henry.
Yeah.
All right, last but not least.
Number six.
Cooper DeJean was our number six. And my question was, how effective would he be specifically as a run defender? Because I thought they would play a lot more 11 personnel and then try to like make him as a box defender type of guy. And truth be told, like, on that front, he wasn't very good last night. His tackle grade from PFF was a 28.6. His run defense grade was a 60.5. In fact, actually, he's the second lowest rated defender that they had last night, is a 53.5. Now, that's still not a horrible day at the office. Like, that's a mediocre to below average day. Again, the Commanders had a bunch of dudes who graded out in the 20s and 30s. That's how you have a real bad day at the office. And I do think there were times that, like, Ertz is able to get, you know, in his kind of zone and shake loose and all that kind of stuff. You know, they credited him as being targeted 9 times and giving up 8 receptions. So that's obviously not ideal. But on those 8 receptions, it's only 53 yards. So he, for the most part, did a good job of keeping everything in front of him. No big bust. And then obviously, you know, there was nothing killer in the run game that really stands out either. So, you know, DeJean, I think he also made some plays where, like, you see the physicality, you see why they like that kid. And overall, that Eagles defense was just awesome. Not, can't say enough good things. And I haven't even had a chance to watch the tape yet. And I know how good that tape is going to be.
Yeah, I think we might have to call Zach Ertz no yak Ertz, because he does not get any yards after catching the ball, like, every single time he caught the ball.
But he's so good at getting open. And
yeah,
that's
he
the
is.
Thing, is. Like, people are like, oh, you know, Ben Sinnott showed in one catch why he's more valuable than Zach Ertz. Get him the ball. It's like, you got to be able to catch the ball before you can run after it.
Yep.
Catch is more important than yards after catch.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's frustrating, but if you don't have the catch, that's also 0 yards after. It would be nice if he could get open, but, like, also you got to think of how a lot of his catches come. They're not on, like, these slants where they're trying to get him in space or, like, big open plays downfield. Like, he's getting in tight spaces, finding the area that the window's that big, and it's got to be right now, and he's been relatively, outside of the one slant route last week that he dropped, relatively sure-handed. And so his ability to find space and then just catch the ball and get down, like, that's super valuable. He's not a yak guy. That's not his deal. He's not going to be a yak guy. But there you go. There's our pick six. here on the Hoffman Show. When we get back, Dave Johnson joins us talking a little Wizards Hawks before we wrap things up on a Friday. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are typically your home for Wizards basketball, but we are also your home for Maryland basketball. And tonight we got the Terps here on the Team 980, which means that game one of the NBA Cup for the Wizards will be over on Bloomberg 99.1. But that does not mean we can't have Dave Johnson on the show to talk about it. And that does mean that Dave Anthony, if we could, needs his proper introduction.
Right corner, Kispert open for three, it's there!
Time to get the radio party started.
Feeds now, the right block of Alassar, slam!
It's time for Dave Johnson on a Wizards game day.
Locked by Colomoli, left wing George, three on the clock for three, it's there!
Feel like busting loose, busting loose.
Cross center, step back, three, oh! Jordan Poole,
you are cool!
On the Hoffman Show.
Dave joining us now from Atlanta, where the Wizards will take on the Hawks tonight. Dave, hello, my friend. How are you?
Well, I know it's time to be on your show when I'm on the road because it's the point where the speakers are the loudest in this State Farm Arena here. They're playing a lot of music and rocking and rolling. And they're feeling pretty good down here because the Hawks just had a one-point win over the Celtics in Boston. And obviously, I want to get back at the Wizards, who have beaten them twice. In fact, the only two wins out of the first game, the first 10 for the Wizards, were against the Atlanta Hawks. So, and you pointed out the start of the NBA Emirates Cup.
Yes, yes, indeed. Does the vibe feel any different? I mean, we got some cool uniforms. They got the cool floors. Like, the NBA has done a good job of making it so when you tune in, you're like, oh, this is different. But for the players now in year two of this, is there any extra juice, or do you feel like that comes, like, if you make it to the tournament in Vegas, obviously, we got to see some of the behind the scenes. We got to see those games. Those were real like, playoff kind of atmosphere games. During the regular season, is there kind of the regular season NBA Cup crossover? Do you feel any sense of that, Dave?
Yeah, you know, not tonight yet. And what I mean by that is, and I noticed this last year, I'm just judging it from last year, it's the first game. And so if you win or lose, but the margin is a factor. I remember that even was for one of our games last year where the Wizards closed the gap. And you thought, all right, well, it's better to lose by 8 versus 28 or whatever it was. I guess it's like any first game of where it's not elimination, you don't feel that anxiety. But if you get a win in the tournament, then suddenly you think, well, you know what? If we can somehow steal another one, so I felt that last year as we did start to look at the standings and that type of thing. And I think that's a credit to the NBA because I think if I remember correctly, there was a lot of cynicism about it and a lot of saying, oh well. You know, what kind of difference is it going to make? And it doesn't, you know, they're not playing for a playoff spot and this and that. But I credit the NBA, again, for, you know, everybody yells and screams about, November and December, the games don't have meeting and da-da-da-da. So the NBA addressed that. And you know, they try something. And many leagues, you know, will talk about something, but the NBA forged ahead and said, we're going to do this and put some real juice behind it, including, I mean, these courts, for example, are $100,000, last I checked. Not that I price basketball courts very often, but the fact that there's a special court for these games, you know, that says something. And it does. Part of that is that the NBA wanted people, if it wasn't a special court, let's face it, a lot of people just cruising by or even attending the game wouldn't realize that something different was going on. But it's center court of every team is the cup that they're playing for. So I credit it. And to your point about, buzz first night, maybe not from the Wizards standpoint because we're just finishing a five-game road trip. But I think from the Hawks standpoint, look, they just got to win in Boston. And that was a cup game. Remember, these teams are grouped by five, so most games are on Friday night, you know, every now and then you have to play on a Tuesday in this competition to fill it out.
Dave Johnson, Wizards play-by-play, of course, with us here on the Hoffman Show. And again, tonight's game on Bloomberg 99.1 as we got the Terps here on the team 980. So last time out for Washington, they got 50 dropped on them by Victor Wembanyama. That's the first of what we assume will be many. He's very good. But Jordan Poole also had his best game as a Wizard, 42 points in that game, Dave. What was different for Jordan in that game, or was it different, compared to the way he's been playing? Obviously, a lot more shots went in, but what was special about it in your mind?
Well, you know, he's just had a good season, and it starts on defense. I mean, he had, again, two steals, but he just, you know, his aggression on defense leads to aggression on offense. So we're just, in a lot of ways, seeing a continuation of what we saw at the end of last season. And he's just happy. This is what happens when he's happy and comfortable. And I'm not saying he wasn't happy at the start of last season, but he wasn't comfortable. And I think that was what was misread. That he was working so hard to fit in. He's very much, you know, a team player. You talk to him, he's very introspective. The first part of last year went on, it was not, oh, well, you know, the ball's not in my hands. Oh, you know, I'm not the point guard, I can't do this. He was trying. He was trying very hard to fit in. And that's why they made the decision. If you remember, we still had Tyus Jones starting at the point. They made the decision to bring Jordan off the bench, and he embraced that because, okay, you know, that's going to give me a chance to be better and put him in a better chance to succeed. And he ended up starting after Tyus Jones went down to injury. So I can see it in his demeanor. He's just playing basketball. And, you know, that's good for the Wizards because, we need Jordan Poole. We need a Kyle Kuzma to get back in rhythm. And you made a great point about Victor Wembanyama. Let's face it, he got the best of Alex Saar by a long shot. But you know what? It also showed the experience when you're defending something like that. Jonas Valanciunas is nowhere near, well, he's near the size of Wembanyama, but doesn't have the versatility and athleticism. However, when the Wizards were down by 16 in the first quarter, a big reason why they were able to come back, they bring a guy like Jonas Valanciunas in. He has a double-double by halftime, for goodness sakes. And so that's, you know, where he plays a role. And he when we talk about mentoring, it's leading with what he does on the court. And Alex Saar will pick that up. And what's great about it, and I know you'll love this stat, of the four rookies, Bob Saar, George, and Carrington are among the top in touches in the NBA, which means they're playing. Alex Saar gotten beaten badly by Wembanyama the other night, although he's 11th in the league, the entire league, in screen assists. And I think that's important to note because here's a 20-year-old and there's a certain subtleness to making screen assists. You have to know what you're doing, otherwise you're going to get called for a legal screen, you know, a screen every time. I mean, we used to, poor Thomas Bryant, as he tried to get acclimated in the league, it seemed like he'd always pick up, you know, just minutes into the game, an offensive foul. So, but I bring that up because that's kind of what we're going to have to be grading on. You can't always look at point totals with this team, but you have to look at some other things that are part of the development of these players because they're only 10 games in.
Yeah, no, definitely only, it's what, an eighth through the season? So it's like playing two NFL games and then being like, all right, what do we think about everything? Well, if they're rookies, probably not much yet. The stat that jumps out to me also in terms of a potential area for improvement, Dave, is Dave Johnson's with us for another couple minutes here on the Hoffman Show, is the rebounding. And you mentioned Valanciunas and you mentioned Saar. Well, Saar had two. Valanciunas had 13. Learning how to rebound in the league can be difficult. What do you see in that realm? Obviously, like when Wembanyama was out there, he's gobbling up a lot of them. But what is something that you think Alex can learn from Jonas about that skill? Is that has been kind of a lacking area for the Wizards in a major way so far this season?
Well, I mean, it's as he gets comfortable with using his body, as he grows into his body. Quite frankly, he only had two the other night. And the problem was he had this guy 7'3" that he was trying to, that he knows very well. But Jonas Valanciunas comes in and gets 10 points, or I think 11 of his
13
rebounds by halftime. So, rebounding is it's a skill. It's why certain rebounders are not, you know, we talk about a Kevin Love, or we talk about, you know, Dennis Rodman may have been the greatest ever in terms of, you know, look at his body and yet what he got out of it. But part of what goes unnoticed is, and I remember one time, you know, when I first started, Rodman was still playing, and going into the Bulls locker room before the game, and you know, he's got his headphones on and he's watching video. And what made him a great rebounder was not only his want to and his desire, but he could tell, all right, well, you know, so and so likes to shoot from there, and I should expect the rebound to come off this way. So, believe me, a lot of rebounding is want to and compete. I'm not trying to make it out now to be like a chess match, but there's certain nuances about it that a Kevin Love or a Robin have certainly perfected and helped them. And you know, I watch it with Bob Carrington. I mean, here's a 6 foot guard who's averaging about 5 rebounds a game. A 6 foot four guard, pardon me, averaging 5 rebounds a game. I think I share that stat with you that the three rookies in front of him in rebounding average 7 feet in height. So he gives up about 8 inches, 7 inches to the guys in front of him. And obviously that's skewed because Zach Edey is one of them. He's 7'4". You know, so it's going to be, I don't want to keep saying work in progress because this is what this whole season is about. But yeah, against different opponents, you know, Alex Saar, you know, let's see how he does the next time against Wembanyama. And that's part of, you know, what we're going through right now. It's the season of discovery. And there's going to be moments, you know, where you say, wow. And then your moments like, wow, you've got to learn from that.
No doubt. And the discovery continues tonight in Atlanta. We'll see if the Wizards can discover their third win on the season. Dave and Glenn on the call. 7:15 pregame, I believe, Dave, tonight?
Correct. 7:15 on 99.1. If you want to join us for that, it's great. You have Johnny Holiday and Maryland Basketball on 980. So we got a lot of basketball going on.
Indeed, it is hoop season. As we spent most of the show on football, hey Dave, it's nice that we're in the middle of November and it's still football season, because it's been a couple years since we had that, but it is definitely hoop season as well. Dave, have a great weekend, my friend, and we will talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
All right, that's Dave Johnson with us live from Atlanta. Again, the Wizards tonight over on Bloomberg 99.1, Terps here on the Team 980. When we get back, we will wrap up the show. And by the way, a quick preview. There's a playoff game in D.C. this weekend. I want to talk about it and final thoughts on the Commanders' loss to the Eagles as well. Here on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live as well on the free Odyssey app. It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Wrapping up here on the show. It's already that time. Any other loose ends, Anthony, as you finish your dance party to Rebecca Black, a weekly tradition here? Any particular loose ends that we need to tie up from the Commanders' loss to the Eagles?
Next week I will be excited to talk about what I mentioned yesterday if the Commanders lost, Craig. Cliff Kingsbury.
I can't wait to watch the tape of this one and I kind of have a better understanding of what that offense was trying to do.
Yeah.
I just think some of this is you could not pick the worst opponent to face on a short week. Like, they do stuff that's so unique with this match zone coverage that other teams do, but they don't do it like Philly does it because Vic Fangio invented it. And so that's just a tough thing to try to get without the reps and tough thing to try to replicate in a walkthrough. It's like, hey, they're going to kind of play quarters, but it's kind of going to be man. And so, like, what was the plan? We'll talk about it. Logan and I will on Tuesday. I will say I will be not on the radio Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week for a very great reason. Congratulations to my sister-in-law, Kelsey, and my brother-in-law, Seth, on the newest addition to the family. Ati Alexander Gee joined us yesterday. And so Uncle Craig and Aunt Rachel are headed to Ohio to go be on aunt and uncle duty. So Ati, congrats on your first ever shout out on the radio. And I'm very excited to go play Uncle Craig next week for the first couple days of the week with the mini bye. So Linnell will be in a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I think I'm probably going to try to check in on Wednesday for competition Wednesday. So do that, and then I'll be actually doing the show from Ohio. I don't know. I'll see Anthony again at some point down yonder in the future. We'll be in the same room again. Anthony's face is like sad puppy dog right now. I'm so sorry, Anthony.
I'll see you, man.
Well, I'll be on the other side of the screen. On the other side of the screen. Don't you worry.
Well, I might see you tomorrow. I don't know yet.
True.
But I am planning. I'm planning to wake up early, get on the road, try to get down there.
Yeah. So I might see Anthony in person tomorrow after I run a half marathon.
Yes.
So that would be cool. It'd be hilarious. It'd be the only place I'm going to see you for like a week and a half is in Richmond after I run a half marathon, because Anthony's got to be down here for something different. So yeah, we'll be down. I'll be off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We are going to do Take Command. I'm bringing the microphone and everything to Ohio, and then I'm doing the show from there on Thursday, Friday. Be back in DC the week after. But I got a TV. Everything will work. It'll be fine. It'll be the same radio. If you're listening on the radio, it'll be the same show. If you watch on YouTube, I'll have a different background. It'll be fine. Other than that, tomorrow. Noon. Hoping that I get a chance to watch this game in full. We'll see how the timing works out. But Washington Spirit are going to face Gotham FC for a chance to go to the NWSL final. These have arguably been the best two teams over the last month and a half of the NWSL season. Washington doing it in spite of a whole bunch of terrible injuries that have really messed up their midfield, but still their attacking power is as potent as anyone in the league. Trinity Rodman is still Trinity Rodman. She's an MVP finalist for a reason. They get Rosemond Kwasi back off of suspension. So the speed that Washington has on the edge is tremendous in this game. Going to really challenge Gotham's defense. But Gotham also has maybe the most coordinated technical attack in the league. And Washington does not have Andy Sullivan to coordinate their defense. So it's going to a lot falling on Hal Hirschfeld and Tara McKeown. Tara nominated for Defender of the Year, which is awesome, but it's still just her second year in defense. A lot of responsibility on her. A lot on Aubrey Kingsbury as the goalkeeper, obviously, to keep things organized. And it should be a lot of fun. If you want a ticket, they actually just released earlier this afternoon an extended amount of standing room only tickets. But that is all that is available because it's sold out. It's a blackout game, so if you want to go and stand, wear a black t-shirt, get your ticket, go. It's going to be a blast. I'm really sad I can't be there, but I have a lot of running to do. And with that, Anthony, I do believe it is time for Real Things Real People Said and Real Microphones on this topic. All righty. If I didn't convince you to watch or go to this game, may I interest you in Spirit co-owner Magic Johnson?
All right, Spirit fans, I watched the Spirit face Gotham FC in this Saturday's NWSL semifinal game for a chance to head to the championship. I want to see Audie feel loud, rocking, and all in black for this sellout, blackout game. Rise up, DC. Let's go, Spirit.
No one can ever say that Magic didn't give everything his all. What a joy of a human being.
Nah, watching it, hearing it, he got me excited, man. He fired up. He got me excited.
Ready to go. He'll be out there, I'm sure. Yeah, I can't wait for this game. Magic firing me up or not. Do we have time for the Kieran Anthony one?
Yes, sir.
All right. Back in alma mater land for Anthony and I, also some good news.
Just want to thank both of them for coming to all my practices, coming to all my games. And yeah, but at the end of the day, you know, only one could stay. And with that being said, I'll be coming into Syracuse University.
Sir, baby.
That is Kieran Anthony, the son of Carmelo Anthony. Kyan Anthony. We're old.
We are.
We're old. That means.
We're removed. I'm excited, though.
Yeah, should be fun. It'd be cool to see Anthony on the back of a Syracuse jersey. All right, that's it. That's all. That's our show. Have a great weekend. Talk to you all next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.